a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
I would imagine then that anything that say we can go buy at a health food store outright would be okay. Is that what I'm...
Madam Chair? Senator, I think the answer is if they are doing legitimate business, yes. And the reason I say that carefully, because you will see the bad guys mislabel these drugs. I mean, there's one of these drugs that we confiscated that says, you know, extremely legal. Well, I mean, it's $65.90 for a pouch. It's not potpourri. It's not extremely legal. I mean, it is illegal. And so they mislabel things. And some of the shops in South Dakota, we saw it in Rapid City, we saw it in Sioux Falls, were selling this. Now I believe after the law went in effect last year, they're at least not selling it over the counter. I mean, there's some of this stuff going. I mean, I'm obviously aware that it's getting sold because we're confiscating. They're getting it somewhere. But I would say that a legitimate health shop, just like the example with Epsom salt, legitimate substances for that purpose are not being outlawed. It has a very detailed discussion of what is required to prove it to be an analog, modeled much like the federal law. I think during my time as United States Attorney, we used that statute only a handful of times, and so it's carefully used, and it has not been abused.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney General.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Other proponents for Senate Bill 68. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tom Martinez. I'm the Deputy Secretary of the Department of Health. I'll try to clear up and answer Senator Bradford's question right away, I guess. This is our annual controlled substance update bill, and as most of you know, we bring a bill every year. We like for our controlled substance statutes to mirror the federal controlled substance statutes. Granted, the bulk of this bill deals with the synthetic drug issue, but there are actually a couple things we're doing in here that are just bringing it in line with the federal controlled substance laws, and that's where the anabolic steroids come in. And I'll explain that as I quickly walk through the bill for you, and then I'm going to leave the most of the synthetic discussion up to the other proponents that are going to testify. As you're probably all aware, we have four schedules in our controlled substance statutes, 1 through 4. Schedule 1 has a very high potential for abuse. There's no accepted medical use in the United States, and this is where the synthetic designer drugs fall in, as well as the heroin, ecstasy, LSD. Schedule 2 drugs also have a high potential for abuse, but there is actually a currently accepted medical use. Examples of Schedule 2 drugs would be the narcotics such as morphine, Demerol, OxyContin. Schedule 3 and Schedule 4 drugs have lower potential for abuse, and they do have accepted medical use in the United States. This year, we're proposing to add 2 additional anabolic steroids to Schedule 3 and a new diet drug or weight loss drug to Schedule 4. Otherwise, the rest of the bill deals with a synthetic designer drug issue. Walking you through the bill, Section 1 adds an analog definition, and this is what the Attorney General discussed. Adds an analog definition to our controlled substance statutes. As he indicated, an analog is essentially a chemical compound that is structurally similar to another but differs slightly in composition. You may recall from the testimony last year that one of the big challenges with the synthetic designer drugs is that the compounds are routinely modified very slightly in order to circumvent the controlled substance statutes. So we're continually playing catch-up with our controlled substance statutes in this regard. One very common thing that they do is that they'll take a compound that is already a controlled substance, and they'll just take one of the molecules off that compound and replace it with a different molecule, therefore creating a different, a very similar but technically a different substance. As the Attorney General stated, federal law already contains an analog provision. A number of other states have analog provisions in state law. In fact, North Dakota is currently proposing to put an analog provision in their state law this year. The analog definition that we're proposing is a hybrid between the federal analog statute and an analog statute that is currently being proposed in Kansas. This proposed analog statute will make it more difficult for these underground chemists to circumvent our controlled substance statutes. Section 2 of the bill simply establishes in law that a controlled substance analog will be treated as a Schedule 1 controlled substance. Now, I'll jump over Section 3 momentarily, but Section 4 of the bill also addresses the synthetic issue. And last year, again, we added a number of known synthetic substances and a number of categories of synthetic substances. Since last year, and we expected that this would happen, more synthetic substances have surfaced since that bill was enacted. So we're proposing to add additional substances and categories to the list. And like we said last year, we expect to be back next year with another list of substances and categories to add to our controlled substance statutes. Backing up, Section 3 and actually Section 5, again, do not deal with a synthetic designer drug issue. We're just updating the controlled substance statutes to mirror the federal controlled substance statutes. In Section 3, we're proposing to add two additional anabolic steroids as Schedule 3 substances, prostacinol and methasterone. This past summer, the FDA federally scheduled these two steroids. Now we're just proposing to follow suit. Section 5 adds lacosarin as a Schedule 4 drug, and this is a new, as I understand, this is a new weight loss drug that, again, has already been scheduled in federal law, and again, we're just following suit there. Lastly, Madam Chair, Section 6 of the bill is an emergency clause, which we routinely include in our controlled substance bill. With that, Madam Chair, I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Why don't you just say, are there any questions? Do you have a question, Senator Bradford? We can come back. I'm just giving you the opportunity now. All right. Okay. Thank you. All right. Other proponents for Senate Bill 68? Good morning and welcome.
Madam Chair, committee members. My name is Darren Pednell. I'm a detective with the Spearfish Police Department. I'm here to talk to you about as far as the law enforcement side of this and what we are seeing. Last year at the time when we were talking about Senate Bill 23, I was in the middle of working Pam's Purple Doors case. That case actually went beyond the state of South Dakota and actually down into Florida and possibly into China. What happened with that investigation is I got the opportunity to actually leave the state and go to a trade show. And this is just one of the things that we're dealing with. When I got to that trade show and pretended to be a buyer of these types of drugs, I went around to, if you guys are familiar with, like, home shows. I went around to booths where I met with distributors and manufacturers of these drugs, and they offered to give me free samples, send these things to me in the mail. And while I was there, they already were aware of Senate Bill 23. And would promise me sometimes as far as that their current product did not contain anything that Senate Bill 23 had in it, which was kind of amazing that they knew it verbatim when I was standing there. After that, as the year progressed, I've come across cases where I'm investigating individuals that are now getting it on the Internet. Thanks to Senate Bill 23, that shut down as far as businesses selling it. But now... the guys that I was investigating, they were buying it on the Internet. It's as easy as buying a pair of shoes off Amazon. From that, it actually is spun out to where there are so many variety of synthetic drugs out there that you have no idea what these people are ordering. I give training classes for law enforcement, civic groups on synthetic drugs. And with those, I always get questions from people that are attending those classes, like... Parole Services was in one of my classes, and they're worried about a drug called Smiles, which is a 2C drug, and that's another one that just popped up on the from people getting it on the internet. And when it was in the stores, you kind of had an idea what they were, but now, since it's so broad, and that's what we're dealing with. Just to let you know, too, as far as the synthetic cannabinoids, the synthetic marijuana, that changes monthly. I remember when I first started giving the classes, I said there was probably about 100 or more or 600 or more. Now there's probably thousands. So that's why the Senate Bill 68 is excellent for going after the analogs of that. And hopefully to at least stop it if we can. I can see us probably coming back again next year because it's going to change all the time. The stuff that I saw just for future stuff, of course, they're going to keep changing the molecules, but I also saw herbs that they're starting to push, herbs that mimic the effects of real drugs, like kratom is one that mimics the effect of heroin. So these businesses are already on top of that. They were actually prepared to have kratom become outlawed and have another herb come out. So I could possibly see that coming before you in the future. With that, I'll just leave questions for later.
Thank you. Any questions? Senator Solholt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just have a question on, you were talking about the internet sales. Does this just, Senate Bill 68 will give you some tools to help if you would find people that are purchasing on the internet?
If we can get the compound identified and it's an analog from something else, yeah, it'll help with that. With internet sales, you can go on to, there's one called like megachem.com or something like that. And I could go on there and purchase any synthetic drug out there. I mean, all the cannabinoids are listed there, and I can buy it in bulk quantity. So if I've come across somebody that has something that's not identified for what we currently have, 68 will help with that.
And a follow-up question?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is maybe a question for the Attorney General, but perhaps you can address it. So how many states have defined the analog-type substances in statute?
I don't have a number for you on that one.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Officer, I was wondering, are there federal laws or some other mechanism that would provide some sort of a monitoring or process where the internet sales could be somehow interrupted? Are you familiar with any processes like that?
I'm not familiar with anything like that, but I would say this, to try and enforce that, it's going to be extremely difficult. The web pages come down and go up with a different name all the time. In fact, ones that I would research and get information from are now gone, and I found new ones when I was doing just research last night. When it comes to the internet, it's tough to regulate child pornography, let alone drugs.
Thank you.
Senator Bradford?
I don't know why this is a question for you. Thank you, Madam Chair. But some of this I see that it speaks about similarities to one of these drugs. And of course, it's a little unique in our situation, because we have several things that our people do, from natural herbs, leaves of trees and different kinds, to make healing things. We have no idea what they're similar to, only the fact that they were handed down generation to generation. But if you stop me, and I'd taken some for this terrible cold I got, and I looked like I was altered, then you tested me, and I'd only taken this stuff. But if it tested similar to this, could I be arrested for that?
If it's a fallen under the analog part of this, you could be charged with that, yeah. The difference is, when I was talking about kratom, that herb, if you're thinking about that.
Yeah.
When I was down there and they gave me free samples, I walked out there with a huge bag of free samples of drugs when I went down there. And the kratom, is manufactured by the same people. So the packaging that you guys saw, it's going to look very similar to that. And they actually take that kratom and make it stronger by putting more extract of other kratom plants on that. So they increase the potency of that to get those side effects that are similar to heroin. So something that just you buy in a like an herb shop, kratom's not going to be in there like that.
Follow up?
I guess what I'm saying is once you come up on that person, then you test them. Is that an automatic? I mean, do they have to go through that test? Or if they say, hey, I never took nothing but what my grandma made out of a tree bark or something.
I would say, depending on the circumstance of the investigation, I can't force them to take a test. If they're arrested and I can go after, get that evidence by search incident to arrest and have that tested, then and it comes back with something that's covered under this bill, then yeah, they can be charged with that.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Any other proponents for Senate Bill 68? Good morning and welcome.
Committee members, Madam Chair. My name is Albert Andrus. I'm a special agent for the South Dakota Division of Criminal Investigation, and I'm assigned to a tri-state drug task force in Sioux City, Iowa, and are federally deputized by the Drug Enforcement Administration. During the past couple of years, I've had the opportunity to work multiple cases as lead investigator, as well as assisting other officers with investigations related to synthetic drugs. And one of the biggest challenges that we faced was, as everybody else has mentioned, the constant changing of the chemicals or controlled substances to get around the laws. And Senate Bill 68 will assist law enforcement in the sense of the analog portion, because what I see in the tri-state area is these businesses will target the states that have the most lenient current laws. And in my time working cases in Nebraska, Iowa, as well and South Dakota, I observe businesses run stores selling these substances in all three states. They would start in, for example, one owner started in Nebraska. When Nebraska put a new law in, he moved his store across the river into Iowa, Sioux City, Iowa. Iowa put in a new law. He then moved into North Sioux City, South Dakota, because the money that can be made off of these is well worth their time and effort. I also was involved in another investigation where he started a store in Sioux City, and as Iowa put in their laws, he moved into South Dakota. It's an ongoing investigation. Attorney General Jack Lee mentioned it. I can't go into great detail, reference it. But it actually involved manufacturing in the area in South Dakota that had originally started in another state. But because of our laws, hadn't taken that next step, he targeted South Dakota. And so that's where, as I see Senate Bill 68 helping law enforcement as a very positive tool. The other thing we see, and I also agree with this being an ongoing, continued yearly process. When Senate Bill 23 came into effect last year, I received calls from a local police chief who stated he got a phone call, and they asked if the law had passed the very next day, and the chief informed him, yes, it had. He watched the business load up all their products from their store and take it out of the business. I had the opportunity to utilize confidential sources and in the business, and they were told we sent them into the business, and they were told to come back in a day or two, and they would have a completely 50-state, what they were advertising as a 50-state legal compound. And so the analog portion of Senate Bill 68 will assist us in that sense significantly.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you. Are there any other proponents for Senate Bill 68? Any other proponents? Okay, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 68? Any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, committee members, do you have any further questions? Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was curious. I know that Attorney General Jackley talked about the Health Department having some comments, and I'm not really sure who to ask this question of, Madam Chair. I'm looking for a volunteer.
Mr. Martinez is here from the Department of Health.
Here's my question. What I'm wondering about is the accuracy, if you will, of the testing that goes on with these products, because it seems to me there could probably be a fairly lengthy process where something new comes out and now you're trying to investigate it and do the... And I know that sometimes going down into the particle of the chemistry, it can be kind of difficult. So I'm just curious to know if we have the tools and if we have the processes that can make this analog bill move forward in a very expeditious manner for our law enforcement people.
Madam Chair, again, Tom Martinez, Deputy Secretary of the Department of Health, and I'll attempt to answer the question. I struggled through high school chemistry, so I'm not a chemist. But what I understand is that the tests to identify a substance are actually very accurate. When it gets to testing body fluids for the presence of a substance that maybe has been metabolized, then that's where it becomes a little bit more problematic. There are tests out there, I understand, but it's not as cut and dried as testing and identifying an actual substance itself. So we're confident, again, that we've got the testing capabilities to identify substances that would fall under the analog statute. And again, these substances are they're chemically engineered, so to speak, to create hallucinogenic effects and to be very close to other substances that are already illegal. They're already controlled. A typical example, as I understand it, is they'll have a compound that may have some halogen atoms that are attached to it. They'll take one halogen atom, and I'm simplifying this, they'll take that off and replace it with a different halogen atom. That in itself makes the compound technically different than the controlled substance compound. With the analog statute, though, it would have to be proven, of course, in a court of law, that new compound, though, is structurally similar, substantially similar enough to be considered an analog.
Just a comment, please, Madam Chair. I think that most of us, I'm involved in a company that has been doing a lot of research on different organic materials, and it's very difficult to identify some of the components that are the elements that make up these different particles. And that's why I was kind of curious, because it seems to me that if we're going to proceed, and we should with this, this is a very difficult area. And that's why I was kind of curious. So thank you for your response.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, I will close this hearing to public testimony and open it up for discussion or action by the committee.
Madam Chair.
Senator Krebs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move due pass on Senate Bill 68.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Krebs, second by Senator Soholt, due pass on Senate Bill 68. Any comments on that motion?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the Attorney General working with the Department of Health and updating and continuing to address the changes that these chemicals and these manufacturers and producers make. And obviously, we want to make sure that we follow in line with our judicial system, too, and we appreciate the fact that last year we updated and made this a Class 4 felony, which makes it even stronger, and the so-called analog characteristics as far as drugs being identified. I know this will be an ongoing update here that we'll see every year in health, in the Department of Health, and we appreciate that, and I would urge your support and continued support year after year to Senate Bill 68.
Thank you, Senator Krebs. I want to echo that. I think some of us that were here last year, I think the intensity of this is how that those details on the chemical compounds, just changing one of those items. And so by doing with the analog, you're having some comparisons there that we can use that, because the industry is changing so quickly. Just from the testimony that was provided today, what we heard last year, how that change has come in. So I certainly think that we need to be on top of this, be proactive, and this kind of legislation allows for that, so our law enforcement can continue to make sure that these drugs are not out for our kids. So thank you. With that, the motion before us is Senate Bill 68. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Bradford.
Aye.
Holleen. Jensen.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Rambelberg.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Hunoff.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. The chair will carry this bill on the floor. That, we will move to Senate Bill 75, and I'll hand the gavel over to my vice chair.
Do you have the sign-in sheet? Thank you, Madam Chair. Now is the time for consideration of Senate Bill 75. Are there proponents to testify?
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm not going to speak to this bill in the sense there are more knowledgeable people in the audience, but I'm sorry, Senator Jean Hunoff from Yankton. This bill would enhance or improve the clinical guidelines that we would use to conduct medical assessments in work compensation cases, and I will defer to the other proponents that are going to speak to this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, Chairperson, Chairwoman. I'm Dean Krogman, and I represent the South Dakota State Medical Association. And we are here in support of this bill. It was in 1993 that the American Medical Association printed guidelines of impairment. And so it's been 20 years. And these guidelines are parallel or mirror the guidelines of the World Health Organization in their definitions of impairment. Over the past 20 years, there's been some complaints of the 1993 version, and basically the best summary I could give you is that the quality of assessment of impairments and treatment of impairments has improved, and it's with this sixth edition, and it's been said that the cost will not increase based on these improvements. So we would appreciate your support, and I would stand by. My understanding also is that the Work Comp Advisory Council voted unanimously to go from the fourth edition to the sixth edition. Now, the amendment that was handed out, the Department of Labor noticed that there was a reference to the fourth edition in another section of law, so obviously we would have to change both sections. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
And just for clarification, that additional change, was that an amendment that was being brought forward?
The amendment was just passed out. What it does is the very same thing that the bill does in a different section of the law. Basically says that we're changing the fourth edition to the 2009 printed sixth edition.
Thank you.
And we appreciate the Department of Labor noticing that.
For that committee, the amendment is in front of you, And on page 1, after line 10, there would be an insertion in this amendment of 62.1.1.2 in order to reference the same change that is needed in statute. I would entertain action on this amendment.
So move amendment 75SA.
Second.
Thank you. Moved by Senator Krebs and seconded by Senator Rampelberg. Are there questions on the amendment? Hearing none, we'll voice vote on the amendment 75SA. All in favor say aye. All in favor say nay.
Aye.
The amendment 75SA is carried. We are now back to the amended Senate Bill 75. Are there further proponents?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Health and Human Services Committee. I'm James Marsh. I've been the Director of the Division of Labor and Management in the South Dakota Department of Labor and Regulation for 18 years. Our office regulates the workers' compensation system and our state's employment laws. Speaking to the amended bill, DLR supports it. We encourage your support of the bill as amended and would be available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents to amended Senate Bill 75? Seeing none, are there opponents to amended Senate Bill 75? Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and move to committee questions. Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Krogman, and this is a question you may answer.
I would like to know, did this make it harder for an impaired person or a lesser in any situation, or is impairment bypassing this?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Yeah. The summaries that I have gotten on this says exactly the opposite, that the categories of diagnosis are better defined, so that I would say it would be the opposite based on, now that's based on the information I received from the talking points from AMA.
Further questions on the committee with Senate Bill 75 as amended? Seeing none, would entertain action.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I move do pass as amended for Senate Bill 75.
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved by Senator Rampelberg and seconded by Senator Krebs that we would move Senate Bill 75 as amended. Further comment on the motion? Seeing none, we'll take the roll call vote for aye or nay. Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Bradford.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Sohal.
Aye.
Hunoff.
Aye.
Senate Bill 75 as amendment is due pass and we'll move to the Senate floor.
Very good. Excellent. With that, we will move. Senator Krebs.
Move consent on Senate Bill. Oh, it's as amended. Excuse me.
Okay.
I rescind my
actually,
motion.
Actually, you can actually consent on an amended bill.
Madam Chair, move consent on calendar for Senate Bill 75.
Second.
It's been moved. Oh, go ahead.
It's been moved and seconded on Senate Bill 75, moved by Senator Krebs, seconded by Senator Holeen. Senate Bill 75 is amended to the consent agenda. Is there any comment? All in favor say aye. All opposed say nay.
Aye.
Moves to consent agenda on the Senate floor.
Good. All right. Thank you. With that, we're going to move to House Bill 1022, which repeals certain outdated programs relating to the Department of Human Services. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman, members of the committee. My name is Grant Flynn, appearing on behalf of the Department of Human Services. The governor is continuing his red tape reduction initiative in the 2013 legislative session. This initiative is an effort by the executive branch to reduce outdated statutes and rules and revise statutes and rules to make them more accessible and user-friendly. As a part of this initiative, the Department of Human Services has conducted a thorough review of our statutes and rules to determine if anything is in need of repeal or revision. House Bill 1022 provides red tape reductions to statutes and rules relating to programs of the Department of Human Services. Section 1 of this bill repeals the statute governing the radio talking book program overseen by the Division of Service to the Blind and Visually Impaired within the Department of Human Services. This program allowed the purchase, maintenance, and operation of radio talking books to individuals with vision impairments. The technology used for this program is outdated, and therefore new units are not being manufactured. This program is no longer funded, thus the statute regulating the program is unnecessary. The radio talking books currently in circulation will continue to be updated and maintained by Service to the Blind and Visually Impaired. But due to the outdated technology being used, these units cannot be replaced or continue to be used in the future. Sections 2 through 9 of this bill repeal the Division of Developmental Disabilities' authority to oversee and approve grants distributed by the South Dakota Council on Developmental Disabilities. The Department of Human Services established rules authorizing the Division of Developmental Disabilities to review grant proposals dispersed by the council and using funds allocated through the state plan. The department no longer exercises this authority, and the council has established its own rules for the disbursement of grant funds. Federal regulations currently require that the designated state agency, which is the Department of Human Services, provide for fiscal assistance as well as assistance with staffing issues. The Department of Human Services does provide this fiscal management for grant approval as described by the federal regulations. Also, federal regulations require that certain division directors within the department be appointed as members to the council. Due to the fact that the council has established its own rules. We have repealed all the oversight authority found in these rules. This bill was also passed by the House Committee and the House floor with no dissenting votes, and we would please request your support. I will stand by for questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? You know, I have one. Is this talking book, is that the only means we had available for individuals that are blind for that kind of program, or is there something else out there?
Madam Chairwoman, I think the answer to that question is with the rapid progression of technology, there are other sources out there for people to gain the same information. For example, with accessible computers and things like that, folks with visual impairments can now get that information through other ways. As far as receiving the actual radio broadcasts that were picked up by the talking books, I don't know that there's any other technology that can be used to receive those specific broadcasts, but with other technology that's available, I think that's sort of people are moving away from that.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. Any other proponents for House Bill 1022? Any other proponents? Are there any opponents? 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 Seeing none, waive rebuttal, and we'll close this hearing to public testimony and open up for discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Senator Jensen.
Move to pass House Bill 1022.
It's been moved by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Krebs. Do pass on House Bill 1022. Any comments on that motion? Hearing none. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one at the... You know, when I see a whole taking out of an existing program for people, I sometimes wonder if is it And what I always say is it going to affect somebody? Is there somebody that may not get service for a child or something? It just worries me that when we completely do away with something that's been there for these people who are, it does. But I would assume there is things in place. I'm hoping that's the way it is.
Thank you, Senator Bradford. Okay, motion is due pass. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Hunoff?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. Senator Krebs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Move House Bill 1022 to the consent calendar.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Krebs, second by Senator Soholt to move House Bill 1022 to consent. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. 1022 goes to consent. Thank you. With that, we move to House Bill 1044, which revises provisions regarding the practice of optometry. Good morning and welcome. Denise, is your microphone, is the green light on? Okay, thank you.
All of the changes are either repealing or updating federal rules. I'll briefly explain each of the repeals or changes. 36-7-1 removes the fee for the exam as a certification for the use of topical pharmaceutical agents. This exam is proctored by the National Board of Examiners in Optometry, so it really no longer 36-7-15.3.
Oh, I'm sorry. In the 1980s, our profession began therapeutic certification for optometrists. We had some optometrists who got the certification and some who remained diagnostic. At this point, all optometrists practicing in South Dakota are therapeutically certified, and this information can be found on our website. Any new optometrists coming out of school will be therapeutically certified through the National Board exam, which is a requirement for licensure. And any endorsement applicants are required to come from a state with a scope of practice either equal to or greater than our own. This will prevent the need to differentiate between diagnostic and therapeutic in our licensure. With this in mind, the requirement that each optometrist certified to prescribe therapeutic drugs shall communicate verbally and by sign is outdated. I also spoke with the pharmacy board, and they gave their approval for us not to mail the list to each licensed pharmacist annually. 37-718, subsection 3. Practicing away from the office could be considered a satellite office in a rural area, as well as school screenings. In the example of school screenings, it doesn't seem feasible to require them to give a receipt with a signature to every child. It really isn't practical to require signatures on receipts with the technology we have now. Home post office address could be considered where the practice resides, but it could also be read as having their home address listed on receipts, which we feel isn't necessary. Failure to follow this is a misdemeanor, and the board feels that this requirement is unnecessary, seldom complied with, and really doesn't serve to protect the public. The requirement for posting their state certificate in the office remains in place. 36-7-25. We found that subsections 1 through 12 really heavily focus on advertising. Our goal with the addition of 13 and 14 is to address and just add a higher level of consumer protection. This ends my testimony, and I will stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions? Seeing none. Thank you. Yes, Senator Bradford.
Thank you. On page 3, line 6, do they have a definition of what an unprofessional conduct is?
Down on 15, 36-725, it kind of defines it in the subsections.
Does it?
The term unprofessional conduct used in this chapter, and then it has...
list. Thank you.
I think with that section, they kind of looked at it and said being guilty of is sometimes difficult to prove or enforce in there, and so just adding the unprofessional just clarified it a little bit more.
Any other questions? Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This may be trivial, but I have a question on page 1, line 11, where it says, those practitioners who have established their eligibility pursuant to the section must, is now shall, also pass an examination approved by the board. Why was that changed? Any idea? I'm just curious.
I really don't know why that was changed.
I think that's the terminology, that we're moving to shall instead of must, that's consistent with what's out there.
Gotcha.
From
okay.
LRC.
Thank you,
any other questions? Okay. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just curious if you would take a look at page 3 and 4, where it describes the unprofessional conduct, if you will. I was really... It's interesting to me that Section 8, Section 9, and Section 10 really limits the ability to advertise within the context that we normally advertise. And yet, there appear to be very subtle differentiations about what can be said. And is this acceptable within your association? I mean, it seems like this is fairly strict in today's world. I'm curious about that.
I can't speak for our optometric association, so I don't know where they stand on that. When we were reviewing these rules, it didn't come up in our board that they had an issue with it.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Are there any other proponents? Any other proponents? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Madam Chair, committee members, Bob Ryder. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Optometric Society. We appear today as a proponent of the bill. We appreciate the fact that the board has taken the opportunity to look at the current law and decide in areas where changes were appropriate. We support the changes made, and as Senator, if I might, Madam Chair, Senator Rampelberg asked the question regarding some of the enumerations of unprofessional conduct, and I would say that as a society, we've lived under those terms and conditions in the past, and frankly, by the addition of 13 and 14, there are two new conditions imposed, and the society is satisfied with that modification and willing to go forward with it. And as I mentioned, frankly, appreciate the fact that the board is so engaged in this process. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Ryder? Seeing none, thank you. Are there any other proponents? Any other proponents? Are there any opponents? Opponents? Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and close this hearing to public testimony and open up for discussion or action by the committee.
Madam Chair.
Senator Krebs.
We do pass on House Bill 1044.
Second. It's been moved by Senator Krebs, second by Senator Soholt. Do pass on House Bill 1044. Any comments on that motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just again, in part of red tape review, and I should say repeal of old language, I appreciate the Board of Optometry coming forward and following that. And again, as we had talked about earlier, the must is an old language. It's similar to shall, but just kind of an older language, and that shall is the new must, so to speak. And so that's an update in language as well. And, of course, we always appreciate any other updates that the Optometry Association so desires. So I'd recommend a due pass on House Bill 1044.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, the vote before you is due pass on House Bill 1044. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Bradford.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Hunop.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. Senator Holeen, do you want to carry this on the floor? Thank you. Well, committee, this concludes our work today. I want to say thank you for your efficiency in moving these bills through. And with that, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Senator Krebs, second by Senator Holeen. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We are adjourned.